Today is Sunday, January 19th, 2020, and this...
Are you a Robert Goulet fan? Well, you're going to be terribly disappointed in him tonight. He's got Vegas throat. I hear he is awful.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 722.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas!
You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. And how might you be today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. We just got back from Vegas, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It was fun, huh?
It was. It was a good time.
And therein lies our review of Las Vegas and our trip.
Yep.
Now, we've got some stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm. We'll drag it out over the next few shows.
Yeah, a lot of it will come next week. But we've got a restaurant review coming up from our very fun trip.
It was extremely fun.
Very relaxing, which...
I think it's the most relaxing trip I've taken to Vegas.
It definitely was for me. It was a little bit of a different different approach to things, and we'll talk more about that next week, too. But it was great. It never does disappoint.
No.
I mean, there are aspects that might disappoint, but
you
overall...
mean like gambling?
The gambling thing... I started out doing pretty well.
Yeah, you did.
And so we arrived on Saturday. I was above...
Can you give a hand-by-hand replay of your video poker sessions?
No, that would not be fun for anyone. I was, for the most part, playing on house money or around even through about noon on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And then it turned, and it turned badly. And I was stupid because I didn't slow down. I just plowed ahead. Nope. Everything's great. Head in the sand. And Monday afternoon, evening, and Tuesday were...
harsh.
Violent ass kickings. And yet, my mood was still great. I was like, nope. Everything's fine.
Still having a good time.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Mine was... like I started out very slow.
Yeah.
I did not have a lot of winning until Tuesday when I hit a nice little hand. And then when I look back on it, I'm like, well, I really didn't lose that much considering the amount I played.
Yeah, we played a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. I played a ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
So I got some entertainment value out of my losses. At least I can say that. And I'm richer for the experience.
What did the... Lyft driver call it the entertainment tax. You didn't lose. You paid the entertainment tax.
Yes. One of our chatty Lyft drivers. Okay, so before we get into some trip stuff, we'll get caught up on some news, and then, we'll do a little trip.
Oh, we should review. There are like three Lyft drivers that I want to do reviews of.
We could talk about that today. We don't really need notes for that.
Oh, okay.
So, okay, we'll see how things are going.
All right.
Before we get into our news, this podcast is listener supported by our Patreon patrons. They include lovely folks such as Jason. He's a new Patreon patron. Welcome, Jason.
Welcome, Jason.
Cy Pollock, Nick Iverson, Keith Nettles, Edward Ramos, and Janet Connor.
Thank you. And
all of our Patreon patrons, we do appreciate your support. You can support this show on a monthly basis. We throw some bonus content your way as our way of saying thank you. Visit patreon.com/500 for all the details. I got some new video that I'm going to be putting up there over the next weeks and months.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be entertaining for some or all. All right. So, some news. Let's start with, it's weird getting back to reality. I'm feeling a little, we've been back for a few days, but today I'm just feeling a little askew.
Yeah.
So bear with me if you will. Let's start.
It feels like we were gone longer than we were.
Yeah, it was a shorter trip than normal for us. Mm-hmm. It was a 4-nighter instead of a 5-nighter, but
it felt full.
It was full of experience and immersion.
Literal immersion.
Okay, so some news. There was another strip property sale. It's one of those, not much to say about it because it's another sale and lease back deals.
Boring.
Yeah, boring as far as, you know, touristy purposes and speculation stuff because nothing's going to change. But for the record, MGM Resorts has sold or is in the process of selling MGM Grand and Mandalay Bay. It's, like I said, they're going to continue to run it long term. So it's being sold to a partnership between the real estate investment company that MGM spun off several years ago. It's MGM Growth Partners. And then the other 49% is Blackstone Group and a real estate investment trust they have. So with MGM continuing to run it, it doesn't change much. And I know we've talked enough about these. I probably don't need to go into the whys and hows and what these things work. But MGM, in short, is trying to get out of the real estate game and strictly into operating or properties. So not only in Las Vegas, but elsewhere. And they're, as a result of all of these maneuvers, they're boosting their finances and digging out of debt somewhat. And I don't know. We'll see how it works out long term. I'm skeptical of what it will mean for the company long term. But short term, they're bringing in a bunch of cash as a result of these deals. So there you go.
And they're going to use some of that cash to...
They're trying to get into Japan.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of something else?
Oh, I was going into the next thing.
Oh, they're not paying for the next thing, though, I don't think.
Oh, that's right, because they don't own that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but we might as well jump in, because what else is there to say about these sale-lease-back deals? Like, boring. People get all excited. Oh, there's a property sale, and then they realize it's nothing. I mean, it is to some people, but as far as the operational stuff and whether or not it will affect anything... It will not, in terms of the tourism stuff. Okay, so moving on.
At least not yet.
Yeah, not for a long time.
Yeah.
Most of these deals are at least 15 years. And then they have a... I think there are things in place so that there's probably some like right of refusal kind of renegotiating
stuff. Is there some sort of balloon payment?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know how that shit works. But the leases are really, really high on them. And it's like... I don't know long-term how these are going to work out because, like, MGM, it continues to be responsible, so they have to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
They pay for any changes to the property, you know, and general upkeep, all that stuff. So really, the property owner, this 51-49% split between MGM Growth Partners, which... Yes, MGM still has an ownership stake in that, but they're trying to divest themselves of that. So it's not like the old Caesars thing of moving around chairs on the Titanic. This is a little bit different. They really won't own the land at some point. Maybe a minor piece of it through ownership in MGM whatever the fuck their REIT is called, MGM Growth Partners. But they're not looking at owning that long term. But anyway, where the fuck was I going with this? Oh, so yeah, MGM is they pay for all this shit, and I don't know if the economy turns and they're not bringing in as much and they're still paying like crazy amounts for the lease,
right?
I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, let's move on to something more interesting, and that is for people who are interested in the day club scene, much like us.
Oh yes,
love our day life.
Mm-hmm.
One of the early day clubs in Las Vegas, as we discussed on remember this a while back, is Wet Republic. And that's been around for a long time now. It's run by Hakkasan Group. They are putting in significant renovations this year at that MGM Grand Day Club. They're going to be adding a couple plunge pools, which are really just tiny pools from what I've learned. I'm like, what the fuck is a plunge pool? It's like 100 square foot.
Okay. Pool.
So I don't know. They're adding a couple new pools. They're upgrading all their cabanas, their bungalows, their furnishings. They're putting in new technology. They're upgrading all their shit. And they're...
Most importantly.
They're improving the sight lines to the performance space, which is also being renovated, so that guests have a clearer view. A pristine view of the DJ who's standing behind his turntables while hitting play.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a thing on, I don't know, Palladia or MTV Live, whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
That was like some big music festival, and I think it was Steve Aoki was performing.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was one of the award shows that he performed. Was he on the American Music Awards or Grammys or something recently?
I think so.
And it was a thing where it was like him plus the people who do the singing stuff.
Yeah.
And
he did a nice little collaboration with Louis Tomlinson of One Direction.
Yeah. So here's the thing about that. I'm not going to disparage all electronic music because a lot of the songs are super hooky and poppy and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like you hear them on the radio and you're like, oh, it's Halsey. And then it's like, no, it's Zedd with Halsey. Zedd is some dude who did the music apparently. Mm-hmm. And anyway.
Used to be Hunter's assistant. Now he like rose through the ranks of the DJ community.
That's right. So, like, some of the songs that they write and record are really good. But as from mm-hmm. a live performance standpoint, I still, and I know this is me being fucking old, I watched it on TV. I'm like, why are all these people facing a stage with a DJ on it who's just standing there and occasionally putting his arms up in the air?
There are people who are into that. I have friends who have traveled internationally to
Trust
go
me,
to.
Trust me, I know. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. I just don't understand it from a visual.
Mm-hmm.
He's not actually doing anything up there.
Mm-hmm.
At least nothing worth watching. I don't know. It's odd.
Yeah.
So anyway, from a live performance, if you want to watch a DJ stand behind his equipment and every once in a while jump up and down and raise mm-hmm. his arms, you can do it with better sight lines at Wet Republic mm-hmm. when it reopens this summer.
You know what?
What? And I know I'm old. I know. People who are into EDM are like, you don't understand. It's really high energy and a lot of fun, just like any other rock concert. But again, visually, mm-hmm. meh.
If you're into it, that is awesome. Go enjoy it. Do you.
More for you.
I prefer a sedate pool.
To a day club?
Yes.
Okay. Sedate Pool was, of course, the name of your folk... Of your jazz trio.
Yes.
All right. Another day club update, and that is at Tau Beach Club at Venetian. That is also going under renovations right now. And these are apparently even larger in scale than Wet Republic because it's going to remain closed all year. It will be closed until 2021. So
that's
there you go.
That's interesting.
I know.
I don't see the day club thing going anywhere, but
no, it's
I
not
feel
going
like
away.
they might be losing quite a bit of revenue.
I don't know. I suppose maybe it's like the nightclub scene where the bigger and the newer thing is mm-hmm. often the bigger draw, and they guess that it's going to be enough of a big draw after it reopens to make it worth shutting down. I don't know. So yes, that will be shut down through 2020 and reopening next year again.
Or maybe if they like stay closed long enough, it'll be like brand new again.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So, with being closed that long, I would imagine the whole thing is being completely ripped mm-hmm. apart and put back together. So, just
Venetian
like...
Venetian used to have a sedate pool.
You're obsessed with sedate pools.
I am.
Do they no longer have a sedate pool?
Well, if they've got Tau Beach Club, then...
But that's not their only pool area. They have their own... Because there's still... I don't know.
I don't know.
There's other stuff there for the non-day clubby pooling.
Okay.
All right.
But does the day club seep over into the non...
I don't know. I don't know what the layout is. I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't think so. Because if that's the case, then you're just going to be faced with construction noise while trying to
Ooh.
Relax at the sedate pool.
Mm-hmm.
Are we calling this show Sedate Pools?
If you want to. I'm not trying to like influence your title by saying it over and over.
It seems like you might be. Are you like you're lobbying for something here?
No.
Okay. All right. We've got some residencies to talk about this week, which is always fun because we play a little bit of music to go along with them.
Boy.
Let's start out with this one. It's big news. Everybody's talking about it. I pulled this song especially for our discussion.
Thanks.
I never really had a friend to talk to until you.
Let it wash over you.
No.
Like a sedate pool.
I never understood real understanding.
What?
Until you. I never had a special place to go and kick my shoes off and really sing the blues when I was blue until you.
Would you like to explain who these dulcet tones belong to?
I just wanted to get through the main part there. You're listening to Terry Bradshaw, former football player, current commentator on Fox?
Football
stuff, NFL games.
I'm sure we'll see him at some point today.
He is going to be doing his one-man show, the Terry Bradshaw Show, for an extended run at Luxor. He's done a couple one-offs, and apparently they were successful enough to come back, and not just for like a small smattering of shows. They have announced 31 shows between March and July, with additional shows expected to be announced. I expect them to be announced only after...
The man's keeping busy during the off-season.
Yeah, we'll see if it's extended. But anyway, that is crazy. 31 shows for... I wouldn't have expected Terry Bradshaw to be that big of a draw. I'm sure he has some good stories, and he's a doofus, but he's kind of entertaining. So this show chronicles his life through music, comedy, and storytelling. And yes,
will this be some of the music?
I have no idea. So I just pulled a random clip from YouTube. He has put out, like, way back, probably in the 60s or 70s or something. In the 70s, everybody had an album. If you were famous, it was mandatory.
They call him the Bandit.
So, well, that was Jerry Reed. He was an actual singer. But, bad example.
And truck driver.
But, yeah, he did some country albums. He did a lot of Hank covers.
Terry Bradshaw did.
Yes. And then more recently, it looks like he's been doing some gospel music of some sort. Just horrible Jesus-y songs that I can't imagine anybody really would want to listen to. But there's an audience. I don't know how much of it will actually be music. I know in some clips I saw of him performing part of his show, he did have a band and some backup singers behind him, and he was sitting on a stool telling a story, and then apparently so every so often maybe he launches into song. If anyone sees this, I'd love a review.
Yes.
I have a feeling it's probably an entertaining show. I don't know that it would be something I'd want to go to, but...
I'm curious.
And then, like, what is the makeup of the audience? Is it a bunch of football fans? I would imagine that it would be his main draw. Or is it just a bunch of senior citizens? I don't know who the fuck sees this. But again, 31 shows, that's a big
commitment. I'm going to guess old white people.
Well, based on that song... it's a 70-minute show. It will be running in the Atrium Showroom, 7:30 on the days it performs. There's, like I said, there's a bunch of shows, so I'm not going to go through all the dates. $72 and up, plus taxes and fees. So maybe discounted tickets might be available, but I don't know. It's not a humongous theater, so they might be able to fill that.
This is interesting to me.
It is
something
to me
different.
Too. A lot of times when you've had these kind of quirky one-man shows, it's been for a very short amount of time. Burt Reynolds actually did one several years ago. Larry King did one at Wynn for a while. Every once in a while, I think, did Al Pacino do something? There's been a handful of these odd, like, people that you wouldn't expect to do a stage show necessarily. But for a 31-show run, I'm curious whether or not this is going to do well. I don't know. It's different. I love that Vegas has weird stuff like this still.
Yeah.
And it's not really like so Mike Tyson had his thing, but that was a little different. You know, that was him telling his life story, which I suppose this is to some extent, but I see them as being a little bit different. That was, I think, much more, well, this will be scripted to some extent too, but I have a feeling that was much more like completely polished. And this, I could see him going off script and getting into other stuff and maybe not being the same from night to night. But we shall see. If anybody sees it, please call in a review. I'd love to hear about it. All right. So there is another. We need to cleanse ourselves from that song that we just heard. So we better do it with something good, right? Maybe something that rocks a little bit.
We'll be right back.
You hear them on this podcast every single week at the beginning of the show. The dulcet tones of Klaus Mine shouting out Las Vegas, Nevada, which apparently, based on Facebook, several people thought that he was yelling other things. And, but no, it's Las Vegas, Nevada. Probably the most familiar hit from Scorpions. And they've got a lot of them.
How does one get rocked like a hurricane?
I don't know. You really need to dig into the lyrics to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might be offensive. The best thing to ever come out of Germany, in my mind. The show is called Sin City Nights. A little twist on this song.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be doing 9 shows in July at Planet Hollywood Zappos Theater. Is that the same room where we saw them when it was
yes.
still Aladdin?
Yes.
If we happen to be there in July, and I have no idea
what
we will.
Might have to recreate that memory.
I would be going to this.
Only if the guy in front of us is there.
The guy who loved it and hated it at the same time?
Yes.
If you're a fan of, like, 70s, 80s, and early 90s rock, you probably know the Scorpions well. They've got a lot of songs. They've been together since, like, 1940.
Mm-hmm. How many configurations have they had lineup?
I love bands where if you look at their Wikipedia page, it has a chart, and there's, like, 142 members.
Mm-hmm. They run out of colors for the overlap.
I love that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've been through a bunch. But they've got a core of like 3 or 4 that mm-hmm. I think maybe 3 that have been hanging out for a long
time. And they are?
Klaus Mine, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your Rudolf Schenker on
yes.
guitar. Let's see, they've had different drummers. They've had different bands. Maybe it's just, I don't know. Matthias Jobs has been with them for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so.
Herman the German hasn't been with them for a while.
No, he left a while ago. And last time we discussed him, I couldn't remember the name of Francis Buchholz.
Okay.
He is no longer with them either, I don't believe. But he's from that solid lineup from when they were really pumping out the hits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not playing Winds of Change, even though that's one of their biggest hits. I made that executive decision.
All right.
Okay, so anyway, tickets are $41 and up plus taxes and Ticketmaster fees. Unlike most residencies in Vegas, there is an opening act.
Uh-huh.
It's unfortunately, from my perspective, because I'm not a fan, it's Queensryche. And I know that the musician... I'm not playing any fucking Queensryche songs. The musicianship among members of Queensryche is very high, but their fucking
yes.
songs are just ponderous. Just fucking prog, rocky, meandering bullshit is what it is. But some people like it, so
mm-hmm.
more power to you if you want to go for the opener. I would be showing up late. So yeah, that's it. I'm excited about Scorpions, even if I don't get to see it, because it's a band I like, and I like when bands I like have residencies in Vegas. How does it feel, babe? Oh yeah, that Scorpions can be sensitive too.
Yeah.
Do you want me? Oh, Klaus. Alright. I wonder how many people forwarded through this segment because they just can't deal with
how much rock that the Scorpions bring.
My preferred brand of rock. This one of my preferred brands of rock.
What are your other preferred brands of rock?
I don't know. I don't want to get into it. Obviously not Queensryche.
Mm-hmm.
When I listen to Hair Nation on Sirius, which is often.
Yes.
Like, there are like 2 things that will get me to every time hit the fucking button and move to a different channel.
Yes.
One is Queensryche.
Mm-hmm.
And 70% of the time, Great White.
Oh, yeah? What about Bon Jovi?
I've settled on them.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay, you've come around again.
I'm not going to go see him live anytime soon, but mm-hmm. I'm not feuding with Bon Jovi anymore.
Okay. Because of the Richie Sambora thing?
Part of it is Hair Nation is taken to playing more deeper cuts of Bon Jovi. They're not playing the same 6 songs.
Yeah.
So...
that's helpful.
It is helpful.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear Living on a Prayer again.
No.
But if they want to play Social Disease, I'll listen.
Sure.
All right. Have we heard enough Scorps?
I think so. I guess I'm fine.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Klaus and the boys. Look forward to seeing you in July if possible. All right. What else is going on? So downtown, Binion's is up to some ridiculous nonsense yet again, mm-hmm. being it's Binion's self. They teased this stupid thing. This was a marketing faux pas, if ever there was one.
Uh-huh.
Is teasing something as though it's going to be a big announcement.
Like, yeah.
10 days. Like, we have a big announcement, 10 days, we're going to live stream it.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, people are like, oh, the Mint Tower is going to be renovated and reopened. Right. Or you're bringing back your coffee shop that was in the... You know, all the shit that people have been longing for.
Right.
No, it's another doubling down on their niche as a destination for the gullible. Yes, it's Psychics and Spirits, a new show featuring Delisa, a fifth-generation psychic medium. So yeah, more of their ghosty psychic nonsense. According to the description, this 90-minute show will feature live readings from the audience, Q&A with Delisa, and an opportunity to feel your own energy.
I think I could feel my own energy
I have that energy. I have that capability at any time.
And I don't need to pay to do it.
Shows are 3 p.m. and 8 p.m. on the always popular days of Wednesday and Thursday.
Hmm.
It's kind of like the... You know, in the scene in Swingers when they talk about how the overnight shift is where you get the less attractive waitresses?
Uh-huh.
If your show is slotted in on Wednesday and Thursday at 3...
Uh-huh. What are you saying?
I question how long it's going to be around. It's not your... On a Wednesday,
I thought you were casting aspersions on the looks of Delisa.
I don't even know what she looks like. I have no idea. She might be hot as hell. I have a feeling she's 75 years old, but I don't know.
And
by the way,
hell.
Fifth generation psychic, does that shit passes down? Is it some DNA shit? It's genetics that you're a psychic?
I'm sure it
it's
is if you watch fantasy television.
Oh, it's all fucking shit.
I think there's a certain camp value in it, but
remember
I don't...
Remember when we went to when we were young, like, was it on our honeymoon?
Yes, it was in San Francisco
we went to
that palm reader.
A palm reader?
Yeah.
And, like, the first thing they try to do is get you to spend more money.
Oh, yeah.
And they separated us.
Yes.
Bunch of shit. Never been to another one. I knew going in it was going to be shit, but it's oh, this will be funny.
Yeah, no.
And then they give you all these vague things, like, somebody in your extended family has a history of alcohol abuse. Like, tell me a family that doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking idiots. Anyway.
I was supposed to have 3 children.
Oh, is that what they told you?
Uh-huh.
How's that going for you? Wow. Tickets are 50 and
not getting started on that anytime soon.
Seems a little late in the game. Tickets are 50 and 65 bucks. I can't imagine paying full price for them. They will be available from discounters if you must subject yourself to this nonsense. Come on, Binion's, be better, you fuckers. Mm-hmm. They just continue to disappoint. They did one good thing with Whiskey Liquor Up, and then again, it's back to their usual fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
And teasing this with a 10-day announcement for a Wednesday afternoon show?
No.
Come on. All right, moving along. Also downtown, as expected, the city council voted to remove the business license from the worst Fremont East bar, which is called, well, was called Red, then it was called 512, and now it's called Closed. They had a history of aggressive security practices and other problems, and I watched.
They showed video during the hearing. Oh, whoa!
Yeah, the security was beating the hell out of some people.
They laid some people out.
And then the way they handled things was really bad when they did have, you know, when they had security issues, and like one, they pissed off some people so bad that somebody came back and tried to shoot the place up. This is like a couple years ago, and they ended up shooting a security guy from Evil Pie next door. Like, how did that get buried? I don't remember hearing anything about that when it happened, but yeah, so anyway, they're trying to sell it. Apparently, they had this guy who, as an attorney, who represented them, who normally represents strip clubs and adult entertainment businesses, and he admitted right off he's wholly unprepared for this hearing that's been scheduled for 2 months because he was convinced up until the day before that it was going to be sold, and that did not happen, so he didn't think the hearing was going to be necessary.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so anyway, they shut him down. It's no longer open. So now there's a couple spots there on Fremont East that are a mystery. We've got that, and then Vanguard just closed. So we'll see what happens on that side of the street here in the next several months. Hopefully something much better than what was in there. Because regardless of the security issues, that was just a shitty bar.
Mm-hmm.
It was just boring. Like, they took the guts of insert coins and didn't do shit to it. And
yeah.
They tried to make it a nightclub and a sports bar. And they tried to do all this different stuff. And it was all haphazard and half-assed mm-hmm. and good.
It was not good.
Glad these owners are out of the game. Because they clearly didn't know what they were doing. All right. Let's talk about delicious food in Las Vegas, shall we?
Okay.
More restaurants from David Chang. David Chang is a chef who recently opened Major Domo Meat and Fish at Venetian. He has also announced and will soon be opening a restaurant called Moon Palace in the same general area of Venetian, and that is going to focus on sliders.
Okay.
But he announced on a podcast this week. Are you familiar with podcasts? It's audio content that people can listen to on demand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so kind of like radio, but mm-hmm. you listen to it
whenever you want.
Whenever you want through a computer or an iPhone or mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. some other device.
I hear they're kind of a thing.
People like them, I guess. I don't get it. Anyway, he announced on a podcast, and it was reported by the Review Journal, that he plans to convert a section of his new Major Domo restaurant into a third restaurant called Siberia. I'm very intrigued by Siberia. This is going to have the same general concept.
Because it's Siberia, will it be like minus five ice bar where you have to put on extra clothes?
I hope not. Like the old Red Square
vodka
locker.
Yeah.
No, they're going to take the concept of an all-you-can-eat Brazilian barbecue restaurant. If uh-huh. you've ever been to one of those, they're lots of fun. They've got mm-hmm. meat gauchos who come around with big fucking skewers of meat
and
carve it off on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. I'm doing the carving motion right now with my hand
uh-huh.
in a very bad way. They're taking that concept, but they're going to do it with Korean barbecue.
Yes.
Korean barbecue is undergoing quite the uprising on the Las Vegas mm-hmm. Strip with Best Friend, of course, which we reviewed following a recent trip. And then there's a place in the Miracle Mile Shops
mm-hmm.
that does it. And I don't know, there's probably some others too, but it seems like all of a sudden that's a big thing. So,
and I am okay with this.
I like this idea, though.
Yeah.
I like the unlimited meat thing. And that's mm-hmm. the Best Friend. We did the all-you-can-eat thing, but it was a little different where they're bringing you stuff that's prepared back in the kitchen.
Yep.
This, obviously, be prepared in the kitchen, but this, they're coming around and carving off the meat right onto your plate. I'd check this out.
Mm-hmm.
So no idea when this is opening yet. Just announced, but keep an eye out for Siberia at Venetian. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Finally,
bring the meat to me.
Yes, bring on the meat. One other thing I wanted to mention, if you're planning to go to Las Vegas in April, there's one specific weekend where you may want to, depending on your outlook on Vegas, you mm-hmm. might want to beware.
Mm-hmm. Do you like crowds or do you not like crowds?
Yeah, that would factor in. So April 23rd through the 25th, the NFL draft is going to be happening in Las Vegas. That is a huge event. They hold it in different locations every year. But over the last several years, that has become a massive event, and people gather for it.
Mm-hmm.
You put that event in Las Vegas, it's going to be even exponentially bigger, and people are going to go nuts. And they're expecting 400,000 people for it. And the Review Journal reported on some of the plans that are being floated for this, and they include having the Strip shut down, a large chunk of the Strip shut down for 3 days.
Dang.
So they want to use Bellagio, the fountains, as a backdrop. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be kind of the heart of it. But then they'd have other stuff going on too. So they're talking about from Spring Mountain Road all the way to, I believe, Harmon, they would shut down if these plans end up getting accepted and they go ahead with this. There's other stuff too. They're talking about, like, I just scanned this thing. Apparently there's a 1,500-page document that the Review Journal got its hands on with mm-hmm. some of these plans. They're talking about, like, some draft picks would be announced and would, like, fucking skydive in or some shit. I don't know. something with skydivers.
There seems like there'd be a few liability issues.
Maybe the actual
that.
Guys won't skydive in, but they're going to have some sort of skydiving, and maybe this will happen. I don't know. It sounds crazy, and it'll be a big scene. It'll be very entertaining to watch. I will watch parts of it from home
because mm-hmm.
I don't want to be in the midst of 400,000 people. Well, and trying to get around is going to be fucking brutal.
Okay, this is just a preview of when the stadium is finished and they get the NFL championship.
Oh, when the Super Bowl is there eventually.
It's going to be massive fuckery.
In a few years. It'll be the biggest event that city has ever seen, which is saying a lot.
And I will be watching it from home because
I can't deal with that shit.
I'm too old.
Yep. So anyway, depending on your approach to Las Vegas and whether or not you like the chaos, like if you're someone who loves like New Year's Eve, it's a big spectacle and stuff, this might, you know, it might be,
it
if
might
you're
be
a
your
huge
jam.
NFL fan, this might be for you. But if you're somebody who maybe doesn't skew toward the crowds and stuff, like old people like us, then you might want to stay away. So I thought I'd mention that if you're looking at dates for April, that might be one to take under consideration depending on your preferences. All right. So that's all the stuff I wanted to talk about news-wise. Before we get into a review from our trip, let's do one of these.
I don't remember fucking anything, man.
All right. Much like the Terry Bradshaw show, there's a lot of experimentation with different types of shows in Las Vegas, and some of them work and some of them don't. And even if they don't, it's fun that the properties try different things. In 2010, we discussed this on show 276 from October 2010, there was a new kind of show. This was an interactive, concept-y show experience. For Las Vegas Hilton, that was opening the following month. It was called Underground Rebel Bingo Club. It was part show, part dance party. And apparently, it had a couple runs previously in London and New York. So the whole concept here was it was supposed to be like an underground event, although obviously you bought tickets in advance, so it wasn't. But anyway, the concept is underground event. And the show supposedly took place in the health and safety meeting room at Las Vegas Hilton. It was actually Shimmer Cabaret, where they have all their shows, or a lot of their shows. And then inside there was a dance party, and the attendees would periodically play bingo.
Why does it seem like this is a little bit ahead of its time? Because I feel like if they launched this now,
it
would do really well.
Yeah, stamp Spiegelworld on it, and suddenly it's a big hit. Yes, this was in the earlier days of, like, interactive kind of, you know, like the Misbehave game show at Bally's, which is very popular. So they had hosts and bingo girls and cheesy prizes. It was on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Tickets were only $25 in advance and $35 at the door. And it was like an all-evening thing. It was 10:30 until 3 a.m. So much like something we're about to review, the idea was that you would hang out there for a long time. It didn't work. It didn't last very long. So... yeah, it was a concept. They tried it.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think this might do well now, even though at the time it didn't. And maybe the venue wasn't the best for it either.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you put this at a... I could see Cosmo doing something
this.
So there you go. They tried and failed. All right, so we're going to do one or two things. We're going to talk about one or two things from our trip, and then we'll do a bunch more next week. That's the plan. And then after that, we'll see what we've got left. But I wanted to start with something... that was something very new. I thought it would be good for us to review before it got massive amounts of attention. In fact, there were several people who I mentioned this to, and they had no idea what it was because it just opened on January 1st. There is a new restaurant and bar and nightclub and all of the above that just opened at Bellagio. We've talked about it in the past. It took over the former Hyde nightclub space at Bellagio, and it is called Mayfair Supper Club.
Yep.
And since it was opening shortly before our trip, we thought, you know what, let's check this thing out. I'm curious. I didn't even though I'd read some things about it and the concept, and even after it opened, I read some reviews, I didn't really fully know what to expect.
Yeah.
But I was intrigued enough that it was going to be something different. It reminded me in descriptions of like Rose Rabbit Lie at Cosmo, which we've done, where there's entertainment going on around you as you have fine dining.
We never really dined there. We went to the show and then kind of wandered through the bars.
We ate at the bar.
Yeah.
That was later on.
That was later on, but there wasn't any entertainment.
I was so high that night. So
there was entertainment in your mind.
I know. I saw stars. Okay, so we made a reservation. It opens at, I think, 6 p.m., and we had a reservation for 7 p.m. We're not late diners typically because we're from the Midwest and we eat at ridiculously early hours. But we did 7 p.m.
Which was late for us.
And that was probably pretty decent timing because they were just getting ready to start with the entertainment
mm-hmm.
as we were seated.
And I was a little concerned when we sat down because we were like right by the band.
We were right next to the stage, just, yes, facing the stage. We were just to the left of the stage and the drummer was like 5 feet from us.
Mm-hmm.
Not his drum set was not on the stage. It was just next to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And we were right in front of him and he immediately started talking to us. I'm like, mm-hmm. uh-oh.
Oh, God.
He's like, I'm going to perform for you. And I'm like, oh, shit. But no, it wasn't. It ended up not being a super interactive kind of thing.
And it ended up being really entertaining and fun.
Yeah. So the entertainment that went on at 7 was a jazz combo. And then they had a couple singers come and go throughout the set.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a short, like 20 minutes. It seems like the entertainment segments of the evening were about 20 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'd have a maybe 10-minute break or so in between, which was pretty good pacing because it gave you a chance to not be focused on the entertainment for the
yeah.
whole time you were there. At least that was my perception.
I always feel weird, like when I'm dining and there's entertainment, do I converse? Do I watch the entertainment?
All of the above, and I was watching some of the other diners, and some of them were carrying on conversations,
yeah.
completely ignoring the entertainment. Others, like, at first it was a little weird because the restaurant was only about a third full,
yeah.
maybe. So they'd get done performing, and there'd be a smattering from mm-hmm. a few of us. But as it went on and it filled up, then there was more focus on the entertainment.
Yep.
So they do the part.
But this was more seamless than most, where, like, I felt like you could get your groove on and eat at the same time.
You know, despite the fact we were right in front of the drum set and right next to the stage, it wasn't so loud that we couldn't have a conversation
mm-hmm.
while the entertainment was happening. And they were doing a combination of, like, classic standards, like Sinatra kind of stuff, along with the whole postmodern jukebox concept of taking more modern hits and mm-hmm. doing them in a jazzy style.
Yep.
And that was a lot of fun. So they did No Diggity.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And they did Final Countdown.
Uh-huh.
And
Crazy by Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah. It was really, and the top-notch musicians, really good.
Oh, yeah. Very talented.
My
favorite part was when they came back from break
yep.
and the fountains started going.
Yes.
And it was Luck Be a Lady.
And for that, they had a recorded track, which was the same one being used for the fountains,
mm-hmm.
but they had a live vocalist.
Yeah.
And he stood back behind the stage right in front of the windows.
Uh-huh.
So, and they were like the guy who I think is probably the musical director, he was the bass player in the
mm-hmm.
group. He was kind of like standing in front of the stage, like getting people's attention a little bit.
Now, yeah.
That sounds hokier than it was, but
it wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't hokey at
all.
They
wanted people to realize what was going on,
yeah.
that there's somebody performing and the fountains were synced with,
right.
with it. That was fucking cool.
That was amazing.
I don't know how many of those they do. I think they do a few throughout the night. That's my guess.
But that was just great. Like, that incorporated everything. You had the fountains outside. You had this really cool jazz club atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah. And then they had, they had some dancers. They had a couple of these rings hanging from the ceiling, and the
mm-hmm.
dancers would, like, be sitting up there for a while, and then they kind of did some dancing shit along with some of the music that came on later, like
mm-hmm.
the band again.
And the performers were very friendly. They'd say hi as they were walking by.
Yeah. Yeah, and we talked to the female singer after one of her sets.
Mm-hmm.
She sat down at our table for a minute and
yeah.
talked. Because I just said, hey, that was awesome.
That was amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it was super friendly. I think that's part
mm-hmm.
of their thing, too. It's even though it's not an interactive show,
yeah.
like they want to interact with the audience
yeah.
on that level, not necessarily on the, hey, let's do shtick.
Right, right.
There was one shticky part, but I think
yeah.
that was predetermined.
I think so, too.
Because it was a couple that was at the table right in front of the center of the
mm-hmm.
stage. And I don't know if it was her birthday or something. There
yeah.
was
some phone call. Like, she had
I
to go
know
take
what
a phone
was.
Call at the bar.
It was weird. But
oh,
it was minimal. It's not
yeah.
like you're going to get pulled
up on
stage.
I had a feeling that they might have even instigated that.
I think so. Yeah.
The thing about the music, it was like, it was loud enough where you could have a conversation, but it was not quiet enough where you felt if you were talking, you were interrupting the band.
Right.
The volume was
perfect. Perfect for that.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's kind of the entertainment. And then they came back and they did another set. So we were there
mm-hmm.
probably almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
And there were
which for you, for dinner, is...
But I would have... Part of me wanted to stay longer, and that's
too.
Not a dinner thing for me. I like to get in and out. I'm not...
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
And part of me's like, damn it, we should have stayed for another set.
Yeah, and now next time, and there will be a next time.
Oh,
I want to go later to see, because mm-hmm. I guess throughout the evening the energy builds and the entertainment changes. Mm-hmm. Now when we were leaving, they lowered the stage down and it became more of a dance floor.
Yeah,
and they had the piano they pushed off of the stage area, so it was next to it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they were going to feature the dancers more or exactly what was going to happen there. Yeah. But so anyway, the entertainment—that's the first part that we've been talking about the whole time—was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The room, do you want to talk about the design of the room?
Oh my God, I loved it. It was, you felt like you were stepping into another time.
It's supposed to be kind of modeled after a 1920s supper club, mm-hmm. thus the name. But
so
yeah.
You go in, and the bar had this just ornate overhang. It was green, and like it had, I think there were like shells. There was like a sea life motif throughout, because they were like jellyfish on the walls and stuff.
But it was, yeah, it's
but it was really
cool,
well done
feel.
Like the colors were beautiful, and it was ornate but not gaudy.
Yeah, it was a cool room.
Yeah.
It not too cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, that's one of the things that when you try to emulate another period in time, it can mm-hmm. feel cartoonish. And I don't know that it was necessarily authentic, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It also wasn't so over the edge that it was like,
yeah,
totally cheesy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see you in the notes, and I was just
yes.
about to say this about where to sit.
A suggestion related to the way the room is laid out and where you would probably want to sit.
Because initially I thought, oh, I want to be as close to the fountains as possible.
No. So they have a stage kind of in the center of the room,
mm-hmm.
and they do have seating behind the stage, between the stage and the windows that look out on the fountains. I would recommend at least... I would highly recommend when you make your reservation that you request a seat in the main dining room,
mm-hmm.
that your table be in the main dining room with a stage view.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're behind the stage, you're going to miss out.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you're going to hear everything fine, you're
yeah.
going to be looking at it. I just don't think it would be as engaging.
Yes.
Necessarily.
I agree.
So we were, like I said, we were right next to the stage, so it was mm-hmm. easy for us to see and hear everything. But yeah, something to consider when making reservations. They have some big booths, too. If you have a group, they've got some like...
Booths?
Booths.
Okay.
Some large booths in addition to regular like table seating.
Yep.
And the booths look super comfortable, and that would mm-hmm. be good for like a group of four or five. It would be a good place to go
with
a group.
With a group.
Because a lot of times as a group thing, you're going to do a more extended meal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is somewhere you do want to hang out longer.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the food,
mm-hmm.
since it was a restaurant... In addition to having entertainment.
It was delicious.
The food was delicious. And one of the things that a lot of the reviews have mentioned is that it is... They haven't said overpriced. Some of them have. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cheap. But keep in mind...
You're also paying for the atmosphere that I feel like...
You're paying for the entertainment.
Yeah.
As well. So if you factor yeah. in the cost of what you would pay if you were going to see...
To a show.
A show. Which, even if it was at a place where you had a couple drink minimum or something. But... Or
and it's way, way better than medieval times. Like, even though that's food and entertainment.
This
is
high quality food.
Yes, and high quality entertainment.
So you're going out for a really nice meal and you're getting entertainment. So, yes, it might be a little more expensive than you're going to mm-hmm. pay at a regular steakhouse or something.
Yes.
One of the things that they really push or suggest, mm-hmm. they do a lot of tableside prep.
Yeah,
kind of stuff. So they,
which you love.
Well, I don't mind it if there's something to watch. So we,
for example, the salad wagon.
The salad wagon's outstanding. That's a good
mm-hmm.
tableside. And as I mentioned, if you go somewhere where they do tableside guacamole, unnecessary. You're fucking mashing avocado. Not engaging to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awkward for everybody.
Or if they're, you know, setting your dessert on fire.
That's cool. I'll watch something go on. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the some of the stuff they do tableside that they were promoting, their prime rib, which is the thing that they say is their specialty.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I sort of cracked up when the waiter said, "We're known for our prime rib." I'm like, "You just opened. You're not known for shit." But anyway, prime rib, they slice it at the table. Again, do we really need that table side?
No.
Nah. They do Cherry's Jubilees table side.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a handful of things. We didn't go with any of those items.
No.
We each had a wedge salad.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, I'm a no-go on the wedge salad.
It's like, let's just take a head of lettuce and divide it into quarters and make the person work for it.
Yeah, iceberg lettuce is the biggest bullshit of the lettuces. It's just like, it's a fucking filler vegetable.
Oh, yeah.
But of the three salad choices, and I really felt like I needed some vegetables at that point, that was the most appealing, and it was quite good.
Yeah, the presentation was wonderful. They had candied bacon. There was something going on with the tomatoes that was delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all good.
I would order that again.
I didn't feel like it was between that and the Caesar. I didn't feel like that. And then the other salad they had was some kind of tomato salad. And
yeah.
I'm like, nah, I don't. So anyway, the wedge was a good choice, even though that's normally not something I migrate to. Mm-hmm. We then had the beef Wellington for two.
Yeah.
And there were good portions of beef Wellington. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a pretty good chunk of meat in puff pastry, which makes everything better.
And it was tender and
They did delicious. A great job with it.
Yeah.
We had a side of artichokes with hollandaise sauce. That was the one thing that I wouldn't do again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that was necessarily, it was fine.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, you didn't really get a lot for...
It was $16 and there were four deep fried artichokes. So, I'd go with the potato puree or the green beans.
Yeah.
If I were to do it again. We also, again, this tells you how much fun we were having. We ordered dessert.
Yeah.
And I'm usually like, fuck this shit. We're getting out of here. But no, I'm like, we're ordering dessert. I was insistent.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it took a lot of convincing.
No.
I had the Black Forest cake, which was a massive chunk of delicious cake with...
How many layers was that?
47. I don't know. It was,
it was a lot. It was massive. But it was beautiful.
You ordered the music box.
It was great.
They bring out this... fucking music box.
Mm-hmm. And then they open it and there's a little spinning ballerina in the middle, but then there are these compartments.
What were the things within the music box?
There were two macaroons, which I have come around on.
I've been told they're pronounced macrones.
Macrones.
That's a Shark Tank.
Oh, thanks.
That's where I learned that.
Whatever. They were fucking delicious.
Uh-huh.
Because I always used to think that they were like really hard and crumbly, but these were...
It's kind of like Brussels sprouts. Most of us have had bad Brussels sprouts that turn to soft Brussels sprouts for life, and then you have good ones and you're like, holy shit, Brussels sprouts are awesome. Same thing with the macaron or macaroon.
Whatever they're called, they were lovely.
Yes.
And then there were some, chocolate-covered peanuts, chocolate-covered raisins, and then there were a couple, just chocolate drops, I guess, like candy-coated chocolate.
Uh-huh.
And then there were two wrapped caramel things. And one was like a papaya caramel or a mango caramel. It was delicious.
Yeah, the desserts. Their signature dessert it looks like a cigar snubbed out in an ashtray.
Uh-huh.
We didn't get that one, but that's one, if you've seen reviews, you've probably seen a picture of that thing. So they have interesting desserts and
what
delicious.
What I liked about the music box is it was just like a bunch of little tastes. Because by that point, I wanted dessert, but I was kind of full.
Yeah.
So it was nice and light, but you still got the feeling that you had this full dessert.
Yeah. So it was all good. The food was excellent.
The presentation.
Presentation was great.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple rounds of drinks, and all in for all that, it was about $300 plus tip. So some of the stuff on the menu is like super high price.
Yeah.
They like the appetizers are $25 to $30 each. The seafood tower is $65 a person.
Per person, not just $65.
Cocktails run $22 to $24 typically. Salads are around $20. For our beef Wellington for two is $125.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the entrees, they have a couple entrees that are more in like the $40 range. A lot of them are more in the $60 to $70, like if you're going steak. Although they had a 40-ounce steak that was $150 or something.
Like some dry aged, the cow was massaged every day.
Yeah, he had his balls sucked by a... I don't know. Anyway, they had I think Dover sole was one of their signature dishes, and that was like $120. So some of the dishes are quite pricey.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we got a lot of food for $300.
I do too.
For an upscale restaurant. The entertainment, factor that all in with the tip and everything. We paid almost $400 out the door. It's not something you're going to do every night of your trip, but if you're looking, if you're going to have a nice...
If you want to splurge, if you want to celebrate a special occasion.
Good place to go.
Yeah.
I loved it. I
want to go back.
We're going to go back.
Yeah.
But
I want to go back with a couple other people and
do it a little later.
Do it a little later and hang out a little longer and just make an evening of it.
I think that would be fun. Are you saying that my company is not adequate?
I am not saying that at all.
I'm not. I would be willing to go with other people, but I'm not having that as a requirement, depending on the timing.
True. True.
So I'm happy with just your company.
Aw, me too.
Oh, sure. Now I'm you happy walk
with,
it back.
I'm happy with my company, too.
If you're interested in the menu, there are some pictures on Yelp. Mm-hmm. It's been they do have the menu on their website, but it doesn't have prices. The menu on Yelp has already changed. Like, they've already made some changes to it. So the menu on their website is current, but it doesn't have the pricing.
Yeah.
If you want to see the pricing, go to Yelp, and you can get an idea of how much stuff costs. Mm-hmm. You could conceivably, if you didn't get any... I wonder how much our water costs, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They do the whole steakhouse scam where they ask you what kind of water
you
want.
Still water.
And you always...
And when you have still water, they give you bottled water.
Well, that's how it always is. You have to say tap.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got suckered into that thing by mistake, mm-hmm. but that's okay.
But it was Voss. Voss water's good.
Yeah. I bet it was 18 bucks.
It was no... Gordon Ramsay filtered from the Welsh stream water.
Yes, we carried this in handfuls across the sea. I don't know what the fuck I was going to say. Anyway, we loved it.
Yes.
I wanted to check it out, but I was unsure.
I had a great time going in, and I'm so glad we did it.
Yeah, me too. So there you go. Thumbs up to Bellagio for doing mm-hmm. something different and something new.
Yeah.
And really fun time. All right. I think we'll save the rest for next week.
I think so, too.
Yeah. We got some good stories, and we've got some good other stuff we did. We will talk all about it. However, before we go, we have a few karma donations to thank people for, including Chris, a longtime listener, fellow Twin Cityan. First karma donation. He was staying at Cosmo. I think he was there shortly before us. And just said, thanks for all we do. Well, you're
thank
welcome.
You.
And thank you, and hope you had a wonderful trip, Chris.
Yes.
JR said, you guys rock.
Aww.
We rock. That's so kind. Karma donation for a solo trip on the 18th. That is probably happening right now, unless mm-hmm. it was a one-day trip. Somewhere between a little and a lot of mayhem.
Nice.
You know, whatever level of mayhem you desire, I hope that you achieve it. Zeb from Lakefield, Super Bowl trip coming up in just a couple weeks. Staying the first night at Sam's Town before moving to Mandalay Bay, and then a couple nights at the Cal while he's going to be moving a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Love for the third time in 12 months and already planning a trip to the M for the lunch buffet and Ellis Island for the steak special. He's got it all mapped out.
Nice.
We were planning on going over to Ellis Island just check out their expansion.
Mm-hmm. And we never made it.
It never happened. I know.
We'll talk about why on the next show.
Okay. And then finally, Sergio, another longtime listener, his sixth annual destination birthday. He's calling it A Tale of Two Hotels. He is doing, we've done this too, where we've had mm-hmm. two very different hotel experiences.
Yeah.
He's starting out. I think he might be back. I think he was right after our trip.
I think he got there the night before we left.
Yeah. Two nights at Apache at Binion's
mm-hmm.
and then three nights at Cosmo.
Yay.
So I look forward to hearing how that went.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a helicopter tour of the Grand Canyon, the Spot Cosmos,
wonderful.
Some fancy meals, and of course, degeneracy with his friends.
Nice.
That's what it's all about. I hope you had a wonderful trip. Thank you to all of you for your support. You are all kinds of amazing, and we do appreciate you. All right. This has been fun. We mm-hmm. only talked about one aspect of our trip, and I'm already like, that was the greatest.
That was wonderful.
So we're going to talk about a lot more stuff next
week.
Let's
go back.
We have some restaurant reviews, a couple bar reviews. We've got a room review somewhere we hadn't stayed before. A bunch of stuff.
When are we going back? Not April 23rd through 25th.
I don't know. We haven't gotten there yet. Have you thought about it yet? About when we should go back?
I don't know, but I think we should discuss that.
Well, at some point. I'm not quite there yet.
You're not there yet?
Well, this is not a I need a break thing. It's just anything that I've tried to think about that is not just trip related, but anything mm-hmm. that involves any sort of decision.
Yeah, you're not ready
right
now?
I can't. My mind goes. So I need give me a day or two and we'll get there.
Okay.
All right, our website is 500bymidnight.com. You can find us on Twitter. Oops, we have a Gmail address, 500gmail.com. I'm out of practice here. You can find us on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And, of course, that voicemail line. We do have some voicemails, too. We'll get to those in the next week or two as well. 702-866-9494. If you're in Vegas now or going to Vegas soon, give us a call. We'd love to hear your reviews, your thoughts, your observations. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We will be back soon with a lot more trip reviews. And until then, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.